Hello, everyone. It's Jesse Gasparo here. This is the Practical Christian Podcast. With me, as always, Jesse Baptiste.
Hi, guys.
And Brother Steve Campbell.
Hi. Good to be together again.
Amen. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Doing okay. Doing well.
Good, good. Our question today, we'll just jump right in. How does Christianity view mental health? And how can the church better support individuals who are struggling with mental health challenges? Very, very good question. Jesse, do you want to open us in prayer? And then Brother Steve, you can lead us off.
All right, let's pray. God our Father, we want to thank you for another opportunity where we could come together and to be able to discuss these questions. And we ask you to help all these questions, all the answers to be used for your honor, for your glory. We ask you to help those who are maybe suffering at this moment or who may be having difficulty, that they may be encouraged by what they hear. And we ask you to help us all to be cognizant of those who may be suffering. We ask you to help us to have a word in season or to be able to encourage them also. Again, we thank you for this opportunity. We ask you to guide our mouths. We ask you to help everything to be spirit-filled and spirit-led. In your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, holy and precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, so I really appreciate the question that's been supplied here, and it really is a very important question. And I might just say at the outset that one thing to show to us that it's important is that the Bible talks a lot about our minds. We have spirit, soul, and body. We have many references to those aspects of being human, and also there are references to our minds. And like there's a verse I was looking at in the book of Hebrews where there's a quotation from the Old Testament and brought into New Testament era about God's intention to write his laws and his thoughts on our hearts and on our minds. And so, you know, the heart, he's not writing it on the cardiac pump. He's not writing his thoughts on our heart that way, the literal organ, our hearts. He says he's going to write it on our minds also. So the heart and the mind, there's these sort of intangible aspects of us. And that's what comes to my thoughts when we're talking about mental health. I might just start by saying that I was doing a little reading on the subject and came to understand that over the years, there have been different perspectives on integrating or not integrating Christian faith, Christianity, and the various principles of mental health and so on. And some have said, well, they're two entirely separate tracks, right? There's Christianity, and then there's psychology and mental health, and they should stay in their lane, and Christianity should stay in its lane, and they don't interact. They're completely non-overlapping, and so that's been one perspective. Another perspective has been to suggest that, or to say that Christianity is itself sort of like a mental health approach. It's an exclusive path to mental health, and understanding Christian principles correctly will bring us to mental health. And another view has been to sort of integrate what is being learned about the brain and the mind and personality and genetics and things like this, and then to look at them from a Christian perspective. And I would tend to suggest that that seems to be a wise or helpful approach. I would just say it from this perspective, when we're, you know, learning about other parts of the human body, we learn about how the kidneys function, and we learn about how the pancreas functions, and we learn about how the eyes function, and we deal with various things that might go wrong in those different parts of the body. And science has learned, neurology has learned things about genetics and neurotransmitter chemicals and family dynamics and traumatic experiences of childhood or adulthood and the development of personality and our habits of thought and the way our brain processes emotions and experiences and memories. There is a lot of genuine learning in this field, because we have a brain, and the brain is a physical organ that functions and does things. But now I come back to this point that I started with. The brain is not exactly the mind, and even any scientist in this field, Christian or not, would tell us that it's a very complex relationship. What is the brain compared to the mind? The mind is not exactly the brain. They're not precisely the same, and yet there clearly is an interaction there. And so, as we're looking at this subject, I would just kind of start out that way to say that there is value in understanding how the brain works and what science has learned about the mind. And yet, from the Christian perspective, we affirm that the mind is also spiritual. We understand God by how we think and how we learn and what we learn about him. And we understand Christian principles and the teachings of the scriptures with our minds. Peter, the Apostle Peter, he wrote to Christians and he said, "I want to stir up your pure minds." And so I would just kind of lay that as a little bit of a groundwork. I'll pause there. I have a few other thoughts, but just to say that I think there is a valid interaction between Christian faith and principles for good mental health. I don't think it's right to separate them. And I don't think it's right to say that Christianity has nothing to do with what science has, you know, discovered. And at the same time, we take scientific statements from a Christian perspective. And we make sure that nothing goes against what the Christian faith teaches us about, for example, the human condition because of sin, or the effect of sin on our minds, on the way we think, the effect of sin of others in my life and what that might have done to the way my mind and mental health might function. So these things are complicated, but I think there's a way forward. So I'll just pause there for a moment, and I know you guys will have some more to say about those things.
I was also thinking that same, the dichotomy of like your physical well-being and mental state, and then the spiritual side of things as well. And it's important. And I think there is potentially different causes for mental health issues. Some can be spiritual, some can be physical, and even chemical issues inside the brain, just things that are linked to the body. And I think there are some that could be a combination. The first part of this question, right? How does Christianity view mental health? And that's a broad question. You know, what are we talking about when we say Christianity? Like presently, are we talking about Christianity through the ages? You know, there's definitely been, and it's not just with Christianity, but with the world in general, mental health has been heavily stigmatized. And thankfully that seems to be changing. You know, as the years go by, mental health is more of a focus. And it's something that's more discussed and thought about and a little more understood. And the church, it is definitely, I would say the church has been guilty of, you know, potentially stigmatizing mental health, but it's not just the church who has done that through, you know, just society in general. You know, and that's something that's important to understand. Like, it's important that as our understanding of things changes physically and our understanding of the mind and the brain, like you've been talking about, that we adapt, right? And we incorporate that into our understanding. And it doesn't remove the truth of Scripture. It complements and they come together, right? There's a synergy. And so that's important. And I just one of the verses I was thinking of was in Matthew 9, where the Lord, he's talking about those who are well don't need a physician, but those who are sick, right? And so your brain is an organ, right? And organs can get diseases, right? We don't think twice about someone who has kidney disease and is getting dialysis, right? Like, it's just, they have to, right? They need the medications, they need to be treated. But when it comes to the mind, right? Like, they're on medication for depression or anxiety. There's this, like, and it's unfair to view the brain differently. Obviously, we have that link, right? The spiritual link with the mind, but it's unfair to treat a chemical imbalance in your brain as a different type of disease, as something wrong with your liver, right? And it's just, that thought is changing, thankfully, but I'm sure that many people have been, have been hurt by their mental health issues not being taken seriously. And that's just with family members, with friends, with, you know, life. So we have to be really compassionate with this and have have that empathy and try to have understanding that this question, it definitely seems like maybe someone's been hurt before.
I think that's a good point. I think as we approach those who are and try to help those who may be going through mental health issues, I think we have to have compassion. And I think that's something that's needed. I think sometimes we may start to judge, oh, this happened because of this, or we try to surmise in our minds. But I like the Lord Jesus Christ's approach. He always was compassionate to those, and he didn't judge. We have to have an open heart and to really listen to what's really going on. And I think that's something that is lost sometimes today, the ministry of listening. You know, sometimes we can just listen. So the person just needs to unburden themselves. Yeah. And then, you know, as we're listening to them, we're showing compassion to them. Then we can now show support, and support could be in prayer, right? It could be a verse in season, right? Or it could be directing them to a doctor or a counselor that they may need extra help. But I think if we stigmatize them, it's not helpful, right? I mean, they might need real help, or they might just need you to listen and pray. And sometimes because the society we're in, and society hasn't changed, right? Because even if you look at the Madman of Gadara, they didn't want anything to do with him either, right? The society, they were like, they put him in tombs, chained him up. They were like, we don't want anything to do with this guy. And that's what society looks, stigmatizes people with mental health issues. But I think us as Christians, we're supposed to come in a way of compassion, how the Lord approached him in compassion and was able to listen to him, you know, and he was able to solve the problem in a spiritual sense, right, that he was dealing with. And I think that's something that we can look at too, and point people to Christ. But there might be, as we said before, there might be chemical imbalance issues. There may be something where they need to go to a counselor or to see a psychiatrist or a counselor, and we can help them in that way too. So I think we have to have an open heart, have compassion. And I like the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. He has given a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. And when I use those three, I want to say power in terms of we have the spiritual power to through the Holy Spirit to give a person a word of the season, right? And then love, compassion, the power of love. And then a sound mind is that the Lord can heal. The Lord wants us to have a sound mind. but it may need extra help. It may need people who are professionals, just like as you talked about a doctor, right? I mean, if I have a kidney failure or something, I'm not just going to say, well, let's pray over it. You might need to go see a professional, right? And so, you know, we might be able to direct them in that way. So that's my encouragement.
Yeah. Yeah, I think those verses are really helpful. The mention of the Lord Jesus saying, those who are sick need a doctor. It's very interesting because in that same context, he's talking about spiritual health too, right? Like it's a really good connection. He's using their knowledge of physical health, the listeners at that moment, he's using their knowledge of physical health to say there's also spiritual health. And this is really important when you say, for example, God has not given us a spirit of love, a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. You know, it's God who gives us that sound mind. And so there are these very significant aspects of spiritual impacts on mental health. You mentioned the madman of Gadara. He's, I think, mentioned in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And like you said, he was really just set outside. I mean, they made him live in the tombs. They tried to bind him with chains and so on. And in his case, it actually was a demonic influence, demonic possession that was causing that. When we see different people in the scriptures, sometimes it's external circumstances. We probably could think of a lot of people where, you know, I wanted life to go one way and it's going another way. I'm not happy with it. I'm not dealing with it well. Other times it's, you know, I'm just very discouraged. I'm very depressed. Sarah said to Abraham, "My soul is weary of my life," because she was not happy with who her son was marrying. So all these other things where things, it's not that she chose a certain path, but she's just looking at circumstances. When Job had his illnesses, he said, there's like a whole chapter about how he wishes he'd never been born, right? The day of my birth was a dark day. Even the Lord Jesus, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's very distressed. And here it was because of a spiritual burden that was going to be laid upon him, the burden of our sins. It was this spiritual suffering that he was anticipating. So there are these various circumstances. There's a wide range of where things fall to cause these experiences. Sometimes we have to be helped to think differently, and maybe it's a matter of counseling, guidance, mentorship to help us think more correctly about certain things. Like the Lord Jesus, he says, you know, all the nations of the world, they are so anxious about what they're gonna eat and what they're gonna wear and what's gonna happen tomorrow. He says, well, don't worry about the things you can't control. And have confidence that your Father knows what you need. Sufficient unto the day is the evil of it. Tomorrow's trouble will take care of itself. Don't borrow tomorrow's trouble into today. So sometimes it's a matter of being helped to think correctly. And I believe it would be good to come back to that, because there are some real spiritual and scripturally based things about how we should think. So I want to come back to that. But if also there are, you know, medical bases that can help our minds to function more smoothly, if the biochemicals, the neurological chemicals in our brains need to be balanced out a certain way, if childhood trauma needs to be addressed a certain way, these are very real issues. They're not contradictory to Christianity. We say from a Christian perspective, we live in a fallen world. And that's why our bodies, the other parts of our bodies, break down. That's why, you know, people have, we've mentioned kidney failure a couple of times. That's why we're susceptible to disease. Well, our minds are susceptible to malfunction as well. We live in a fallen world, and we look at it from a Christian perspective. So I support all that you've said. And again, I'll pause here, but maybe we can come back to some of the biblical things that can truly be a help alongside some of these other things that we realize how the mind functions from a, or how the brain functions from a biological standpoint. There are certain spiritual things that can really be a help according to the scriptures.
Yeah, I was thinking of what you mentioned, it the Lord Jesus in the garden. And I think one could argue that he had an anxiety attack. You know, the physical, like sweating of blood as like a physical condition, hematohidrosis, which happens under extreme duress and like extreme anxiety and stress. And I think you could argue that he felt extreme anxiety, you know, and I think it just makes it that much more comforting to know that he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, right? He understands what it feels like to, you know, to suffer from like an anxiety attack or to be sorrowful. He understands these things. And like we have a Lord who understands what it is to be human, right? And he understands the human condition unlike any other God that, you know, that's worshiped out there. Right. And so that's truly wonderful. And the other thing, you know, the importance of prayer is something that I was thinking about, and it's one of those where you want to be careful, right? Because 50 years ago, if you said you were struggling with being really depressed, or you know, whatever the case is, right? I don't want to just use depression, but you know, let's pick depression, and they would just tell you, well, you're not praying enough. Just pray about it. And yes, it's important to pray, right? Like Scripture tells us. In Philippians, right? Like, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, you know, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds, right? Your minds will be guarded in Christ Jesus. And so there is some element that prayer helps our thoughts and our minds, right? And it refocuses us. But again, we don't want to swing the pendulum too far one way, right? It's a balance. So yeah, prayer is essential, right? And if you're not praying, maybe you need to be praying, right? Cool. If it's just a spiritual, if there's a spiritual cause or a spiritual component to your mental health issue, then yeah, you probably need to be praying and being in spiritual things. But at the same time, we don't want to say like, that's the only thing and that's going to fix you, right? Because maybe there is a chemical problem. Maybe there is something physical that needs to be addressed. You know, there are people who have you know, a brain tumor in a certain part of the brain that's causing changes to your personality and to your mind. There's other issues, right? And so I don't want to downplay the importance of prayer, but prayer is just a component, right? It's not the only factor. And so that's an important kind of caveat to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that to those who are suffering from mental health, that it's normal, right? I mean, like when I say it's normal, is that a lot of people deal with that, and it could be different circumstances. Your circumstance may be unique, but people all throughout Scripture have dealt with that. And let's look at, we could say David, right? We look through the Psalms, you see that he was suffering, and his suffering was from disobedience and sin sometimes, right? And so that's a different circumstance. It could be from you know, isolation, like Elijah, right? I mean, you know, or it could be from, you know, loss and grief, like Naomi, right? Sometimes you may lose a loved one, and you know, I've been close to that in the past recent months. You lose a loved one, and you know, it's tragic, and how do you how do you reconcile that, right? I mean, you know, the mind, sometimes hard for the mind to reconcile it. We see that in the scripture with Jairus, right? He was frantic. His daughter was dying, right? He's crying out to the Lord. He's like on the Lord's feet telling him, come, you know, my daughter's about to die. I mean, there's times when the legitimate things that happen and you can be going through a mental state of trauma. I mean, it could be trauma through, social trauma, right? I mean, you know, Hannah, we saw that with Hannah, right? She can't be with child, right? And, you know, she was looked down upon, and it could be something society, you know, in society. So there's different avenues. As we talked about, it could be the brain, but it could also be your circumstance. And all of these circumstances, all of the people that we talked about, they went to the Lord. And so, yeah, prayer is, I think, a big thing. But we don't want to, just as you said, Jesse, we don't want to just say, like, this is the only avenue. It may be you need extra help, right? I mean, you might be going through a time of despair. And I don't know that finality when, you know, you lose a close loved one, when you're never going to see that person again, right, in this lifetime. And the finality is like, it's final, right? I mean, you know, to go through that, you know what I'm saying? Somebody may need to see a counselor. Somebody may need to talk with someone, to pray, to think. I mean, like, you know, to go through something where, you know, you're having problems in your life, or even losing a job, right? I mean, you know, being fired, somebody could go through trauma. And so it's something that I think we just have to be, as Christians, to be more mindful of what people are going through. And really, you know, go before the Lord in prayer with them, but also maybe just listen to them, speak with them, encourage them, a word in season. You know, as you said, to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I believe that's how we can do it, is by with the word of God, by thinking on these things, meditating on these things, and being an encouragement to others.
Yeah. I was just thinking as we were talking, I'm trying to look up a verse where it says in Proverbs 31, it says there's a man named Lemuel who apparently is a king. Some think it might be Solomon himself, and his mother is giving him advice, and she says, Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine. And then it says, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Mm. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 6. And if we look at that in the context of medication, so to speak, there's this aspect of there can be a right place for that, depending on the certain circumstances. Now, I would like to just add a few thoughts on what are some, you know, given the fact that also our minds and our brains are not identical, and the fact that God does communicate with our, somehow the soul and the mind and the brain, I don't exactly know how to, you know, differentiate between these things. And I think even modern science doesn't know exactly what, you know, how to differentiate between them. And definitely, if God calls us to, he says, come and let us reason together, Isaiah chapter 1, the mind is something that he uses to communicate with us. And so along with counseling, advice, guidance from those who can be helpful, perhaps medical contributions to stability. I want to add that I do think there are these other spiritual things. They are very real from a Christian perspective. We would say for a Christian, this is the first thing to try. This is the first thing to do, is to go to the Lord, just like we should in any circumstance, right? So I want to just look at Psalm 77. For a couple of verses, and if anyone is turning there, I just mention, Jesse G, your comments earlier about the Lord in Gethsemane, I think are so helpful. His humanity, he knows what deep anguish really is. Yeah. And so any anguish that we find in the scriptures, I don't know that anyone has felt the anguish that the Lord Jesus has felt, right? In fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, You have not yet resisted unto blood, meaning you Christians so that I'm writing to, you have not yet experienced what the Lord Jesus himself has experienced. I might be a little hesitant to apply the word anxiety to him because that feels like a weakness, and I'm not sure I'd want to use that word in the Lord's experience, but definitely the distress. He even said it to his disciples, right? He said, I am very distressed. I'm so sorrowful. He knew what his feelings were, and he could articulate them. Psalm 77 is one of these really dark psalms in the very beginning. I might have mentioned this actually in another context on another podcast. I can't remember, but I really find this psalm so very helpful. It starts out with very difficult feelings. He couldn't even be comforted. Verse 3 of Psalm 77 says, I remembered God and I was troubled. Imagine, like, he's trying to think spiritual thoughts and it just makes him feel worse. And he feels like God is just, you know, withholding sleep from him and so on. He feels in verse 7 and 8 that God is not even thinking of him anymore. But he comes to verse 10. And he says, he kind of like talks back to his own feelings. And he says, I said, this is my anguish, or some translations say, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. He talks about remembering in verse 11. He talks about meditating in verse 12. He thinks about what God did for his people in the past, like in verse 14 and 15 and 16. And really all the way to the end of the psalm. And he doesn't even remember how God was faithful to him personally. He just thinks, you know, what I've learned about the God of the Bible is that he has been faithful to other people. That's sort of as high as his thoughts can go. And I kind of like this psalm from that perspective. He kind of realizes where his instability is coming from. He realizes that it's part of his own insecurities or his frailty as a human being. And he kind of draws a line in the sand and he says, well, I'm going to stop here. This is my anguish, but I'm going to tell my mind to think about who God is. And this is an aspect of mental health. This is an aspect of spiritual stability. If we don't have accurate thoughts about ourselves, if we don't have accurate thoughts about God, if we don't have accurate thoughts about how the world works, if we think, for example, that we should be able to be perfect in everything we do, or we think that we should always be treated fairly, and we're so hurt when other people treat us unfairly, definitely it's nice to be treated fairly, but the Lord Jesus, it says he knew what was in man. He wasn't surprised when people, you know, did what they did to him and so on. It's not that we go around paranoid, but we just realize the world is a broken place. And so there is this aspect of mental health and mental stability where we have a certain, you know, what's the lowest level of things that we know to be true? And sometimes we come to those things and that we've got nothing else, but we've got to know what the foundation is. You know, if you're in a swimming pool and you're going down to the bottom, well, you might feel like it's pretty bad, but there is a bottom. And, you know, if you're in a swimming pool, the lifeguard's going to get you when you get down to 10 feet, cause you can't go to 100 feet. It's not a swimming pool that has 100 feet depth, you know? And so we need to know the truths of Christian principles and Christian faith. So we know this is the God that I believe in. This is who I am in relation to that God. This is what the world is. This is how life goes according to the scriptures. We do have to meditate on the scriptures and think, memorize Bible verses about who God is. Memorize Bible verses about who we are in relation to him. And, you know, the fact that we are justified, the fact that we are redeemed, that we are loved, these are really important truths. And now I'm going on a line, I'm kind of emphasizing this. And not at all to eliminate these other things that have been mentioned, because I believe those are also true. I had a Christian friend. He was with the Lord now, but when he was living, he would call me, and I could tell, like, in 15 seconds if he had run out of his medication, because his thoughts would just spiral downward into this very abysmal, depressed state. He would just, you know, circle around the drain mentally. And I'd say, so, you know, tell me how your physical health has been. How's your medication? Oh yeah, I ran out 2 days ago. Yeah, well, that's the reality, right? And when he was able to be regulated medically, he could think clearly, and he trusted the Lord. He really was a believer. So these things are very real, but we do also, we don't want to leave out, I know neither one of us, not any of us is doing that. But I just say both of these things, and for a believer, you know, we can trust the God who has sent his Son, and who in the person of the Son has been here and knows what it's like in this broken world. And you can trust him. He does want to help you. He wants to help us live stable lives. And that is a reality that we can strive for as we put all these different aspects together.
Yeah, I like what you said about establishing, like reaffirming what you know to be true, right? Because oftentimes the way we're feeling or thinking may not be reflective of reality. And that especially is true in mental health cases sometimes.
Yeah.
And it is a therapy technique to kind of say, no, that's not true. Right. Like whether it's thoughts of depression or thoughts of other things, you kind of, they'll tell you to instantly deny it and push it away. Right. Yeah. And it's essentially that same idea, right? Establishing what's true. And you know, if you ever read a book or watched a movie where, you know, the narrator is telling you, you know, things, and then it turns out later the narrator isn't truthful, right? He's not a reliable narrator. And that happens in our lives, right? Like we're the narrator of our story, and sometimes we're not reliable. We're not accurately explaining the truth of what's happening. There is that, you know, that idea of like kind of shoving those thoughts. And it reminds me of the verse in 2 Corinthians 10, where it talks about the weapons of our warfare, right, are not fleshly. But spiritual, and to the pulling down of strongholds. And then it talks later about being able to bring every thought captive to Christ, right? And I think it starts with that. You recognize that thought is not okay, and it's capturing it and bringing it to Christ. And still, this is something that I don't think I'll ever fully get until the Lord comes, and you know, because that's not easy. Right. It's not easy if you don't have mental health issues, let alone having a mental health problem, because you have to be constantly on your guard. Right. And constantly guarding your thoughts. And so that can be really, really challenging. But Scripture says that we have spiritual tools. Right. And we have weapons. Right. We have weapons to fight back. Right. We're not powerless. We're not just supposed to cower. And I think it's also, you know, just because you're a Christian doesn't prevent you from having mental health issues, right? Yeah. And I think that's something that's really essential too, right? Like just because you're saved doesn't mean you're not going to struggle with depression. You know, you're supposed to have joy, right? But it doesn't mean you're not going to struggle with depression. And so I think that's important. And I was also, when you were talking about the Lord, right? He was open with his disciples about what he was feeling.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's essential, right? We don't do that enough, right?
Yeah.
To share what we're feeling with those we can trust, right? Those were his people. Those were his disciples. Like he didn't trust anyone else more than he trusted them.
Yeah.
And so he shared, he said, I'm exceedingly sorrowful, my soul. And so they failed him, right? We could say, I'm not throwing them under the bus, but right, they couldn't watch with him for 1 hour. He asked them for help, right? To just sit with me, right? I just want you to sit with me. And they weren't able to do it. So there's two sides to this, right? So the one is, am I willing to share what I'm struggling with? I say that to myself first. I do not like to share what I'm struggling with. And there were times in my life where I was like, I will go to my grave before I tell anybody that this is happening, right? Because it just makes you look like a bad Christian, right? And meanwhile, we're all struggling with things. Mm-hmm. And we all probably feel that way, right? We feel like we're not, you know, we're not good enough. So there's that essential thing of like, you know, being willing to open up to others, right? And ask for help. And then on the other side of that, like, let's say someone opens up to you and asks you for help, right?
Yeah.
Scripture tells us, right? Like, you know, confess your sins to one another, that they can pray for you for healing, right? And so not just sins. I would say, like, you know, this is something else you can open up about, and people can pray with you, pray for you, be there for you, right? And it's not just, you know, he just wanted them to sit there with him, right? Mm-hmm. And you could even argue like Job, right? His friends came and they sat with him for a week. They didn't say anything. Right. And that was probably the best they did as his friends. When they started talking, they ruined it. You know, so there's some element of, you know, being available, being willing to step in and share the burden, and to be, you know, willing to help carry the load. Right. Because we're all, Christianity is not in isolation. Right? Christianity is as a community. And so it's something that we all do life together, right? Mm. So my one friend always says, you know, we're doing life together. And so it's essential that we share what we are going through, what we need, and we can help one another. Yeah. Scripture constantly talks about us bearing, you know, helping one another and bearing one another and caring for one another. And, you know, how he's always thinking about each other and building each other up and all of this and supporting one another. So it's all, you know, so essential.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other thoughts?
I think we did good. All right. I enjoyed the parts about the Lord. I really enjoyed that portion because sometimes we forget that he knows what we're going through. Sometimes we forget that we are alone. As you said, in that present moment, you kind of, you know, what do you call it, catastrophize, or, you know, you're thinking, oh, I'm alone in this. This is, all, you know, but the Lord knows what you're going through. And even if you, you know, feel stigmatized, right? Because, I mean, that's, as we talked about the church, and we as a church have to do better in terms of stigmatizing people and saying, oh, that person's crazy, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, the Lord was called a madman. They called him all, oh, he has a devil, he has this, you know. And they stigmatize, the world stigmatized, and we as a church shouldn't be those who stigmatize others. So, you know, he knows what you're going through, even in that aspect of it, that he was stigmatized. Not that he had that mental health issue, but they labeled him as that. And so, and so, you know, that's something that, you know, I could take from that also. And also, I liked what you were saying about in that present moment, another scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So, the thought life, you know, how are we thinking of others? You know, is it true? Is it believable even in our moment? So these are just a couple of things I enjoy as you guys were talking.
That's an excellent scripture. As if this is a conclusion, that's an excellent scripture because it does tell us that we are able, when by being told, think on these things, it means we are able to some degree to affect what we think about. I don't believe that there are no other factors in that circumstance. We've discussed other factors that affect the ability of our minds to think in a healthy way. But to be told, you know, there are good things to think about. There are praiseworthy things to think about. And if we can't find them in our experiences, and often we're not going to find them there, but they reside in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the Savior, the one who is always good, the one who is always, you know, glorious, the one who is always worthy to be praised. We can find our rest in him as we're going through these other things. It doesn't mean that these other circumstances will, you know, sort of magically disappear. There may be other things that we have to deal with and learn how to manage. And some things might be struggles all our lives. And that's also okay. We're not bad Christians if we have certain struggles all our lives. A verse that helped me in this is when Joshua was fighting against Amalek. Moses was up on the mountain praying, but Joshua was fighting the battle in Exodus chapter 15. And at the end of that battle, they have a victorious battle. And then the Lord says, the Lord is going to have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And, you know, you might think Joshua might say, we just defeated them. We're going to have to fight them again. Well, in some cases, there are experiences, battles that we will have generation to generation, maybe all our lives. But it's okay. The Lord is going to be faithful just as long as we need him to be. So I really appreciate the question that's been asked and the opportunity to discuss it with you. It's been really, it is always an ongoing and important subject.
Amen. Yeah, we're very thankful for this question, whoever asked it. And we've had kind of mental health conversations before, but it's always very helpful. Yeah. We want to kind of establish the, you know, just the reality that, like, it's okay to have a mental health issue, right? It doesn't make you a bad Christian. Thank you both for taking the time. I really appreciate you guys coming and sharing and participating in this. And just thank you also all those who are praying for us. Please continue to do so. We really appreciate your prayers. Just pray for us. And we're just grateful for this opportunity to use this platform. So I think that's it.
Very good. Yep, that's a great conclusion.
I think I ended and didn't realize I ended it. All right.
Very good.
All right. Good night.
Yeah. Take care.